Start your day the Toway, Northwest London, Monday, 23rd of 7, 12th of June. Dan Levy, Yitzhak, Raskin, Shlita, Tefillah Insights. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Kirsch, Lil Nishmas, Rabbi Shai, Nochem, Ben Rabavron, Goschuk, Zifron, Rocho. The Ziyad site is on the 26th of 7th, Thursday.
Good morning. Always a pleasure to be here with you. And my topic for this morning is insights into tefillah. So I'll tell you a little bit of the background. Well, about 20-something years ago, I published a sefer on the Siddur of the Baal Tanya. It's about 700 pages, researched. And it's hopefully coming out in its second print now, totally new edition. But about 5 months ago, someone shared with me a manuscript, which is in the Hebrew University. It's a manuscript written about 130 years ago by someone called Yitzchok Yaakov Chazan, who lived in a town called Lovich, which is not far from Sochatchov. It doesn't look like a Chassidish writer. It seems to be more, Veltish. What he's done is he's scanned through dozens or hundreds of Sforim and found little bits and pieces about tefillah. So little anecdotes of tefillah. Here it's a hakdama, and here it's at the back of a sefer, and he's kind of collated this material. It's 400 pages in the manuscript, and I've been going through this manuscript and copying out, hopefully I'll publish in due course, but there's some fascinating insights into tefillah, which is, as I say, culled from, a lot of the stuff I can trace. I have a Yitzhak Chochem, I can see the Sforim where he got it from, but the idea of getting all these little verte explanations. So I want to share with you a few of the most outstanding ones, to my mind. So he has this article about someone who challenges the nusach which we say at a bris. So I've got in front of me, I've got a siddur which has got the nusach of zeh kisa shel by a bris. Now there's an announcement zeh kisa shel elio adnovi zochor latoiv. And then he turns Elio Malach Abriz Amoid Al Yamini V'Samcheini, protect me. And he seems Hinesh Aloch Lefonecho seems to be his offering, the child as an offering to Elio. Where do we see that we should offer a child to a Malach and to ask for a Malach to protect us? We Karbonas to the Eibishter. And tefillos are to Hashem. And therefore, this writer was so strident in his criticism. He says it should be ripped out of the Siddurim. It's totally out of order. I traced who this writer is. He is the one who's the critic. He is from the Maskilim, from that background. And so then, the one who responds to this, you may be familiar with the name of a sefer called the Mar Cheshes. It's a well-known yeshivish sefer. So his father was the one who responds. He wasn't a Rosh Yeshiva, he was more a scholar as such, but he used his scholarship to rebut the Haskalah criticism. And he says, I'm going to reread what's happened over here in the Zeh HaKisei, and you'll see that all your criticisms fall away. And he goes to a whole description of how it was in the old shuls. He says, I'm not making it up. You can see in old shuls, this is 150 years ago, you can see it was typically at the back of the shul, there was a small doorway. And that was called the Mila Tir. Because that was where, when it was a bris, the child would be brought into the shul. the seder of a male and female kvater and kvaterin was because the child is with the mother. And how does the child get into the shul? So you had, so the kvater is the one who stands by the door. So there's the woman would be at the on the outside of the door. She'd bring the baby. And then there would be, the kvater would stand on the inside of the door and bring the baby to the place in the middle of the shul where the bris would be done.
Where did kvater come from?
Kvater? There's two. One is something, I think, about kovoid tir. Kvater is covered tir. That's one meaning. Another translation is like godfather.
Kvater.
Yeah.
Like a father.
Like, okay, yeah. But this is one of them is covered tir. Have you ever seen a Haggadah which had under Kiddush, the Pesach by night, it has rabbits running under as a picture? Yagin Haz means to chase the rabbits. So they had this at the bottom. Hasen is rabbits in yes. German. So Yakna Haz, they had a play on the words. In the bottom, I've seen a picture of it, of the Haggadah. At the bottom, there's a dog chasing rabbits. It must be Yekesh Yuma. I apologize if anyone's offended. So the fact that they take a word, covered tier, and make it into kvater and etc. Okay, that's well, let's come back. Yes, yeah, absolutely, yes. But he's the mnemonic of Yak Nahaz is put as a dog chasing rabbits. Okay, let's come back. So now the typical minig was at the back of the shul, they had a large chair, which was made of two seats, and this chair was designated for brisn. It was usually suspended on hooks on the maidav wall at the back of the shul. It was a chair made, as I said, with two seats, plush. All of this is he describes in detail. It's plush, but it's made that there's a groove between the two, because there's two seats there. When there would be a bris, so then someone has a job to take the chair, that bench, off the wall and put it in a central position. It says in the Zohar, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that in order that it should be Kisa Shel Eliyahu, it's imperative that it should be announced that this is the seat of Eliyahu. Okay, so then he, let's look at the Zeh Kisa Shel Eliyahu. Who takes the chair of the wall and puts it in place? The Shamas. So then he puts it in place and he announces Zeh HaKisei Shel Eliyahu Zochor LaTov. That's the Shamas announces. Then the Moyel, in trepidation, is doing such a delicate procedure. So he turns, he says a tefillah. Lishuoscha Kivisi Hashem. He also says Sibarti Lishuoscha Hashem Mitzvasecha Osisi. Now in Nusach Ashkenaz, Sibarti Lishuoscha is said twice. Familiar? You say first Shibot, the first time is Shibat Shuosh Hashem Mitzvah Sisi, and later on he says again Shibat Shuosh Hashem. Why is it first said twice? Why the first time is Mitzvah Sisi, the second time not? So he says the first one is said by the Moyel. He's about to do the bris. Shibat Shuosh Hashem. I'm appealing you to Hashem to look after me, Mitzvah Sisi, because it's on the past tense, but he's going to implement the mitzvah. So he says the full pasuk. Now we call over the sandik, and we tell the sandik, take a seat. Now, that seat is, wait a minute, it's Eliyahu HaNavi's seat. So the sandik apologizes to Eliyahu HaNavi, I'm not going to take your seat. Eliyahu Malach HaBris, Hine Shaloch Lefonecho, that's your seat, I'm sitting next to you. Hine Shaloch Lefonecho. Then, the procedure is that the Moyel calls over the father, who might be shivering in the edge of the room. He says, come over. Amoid al yamini. Come, father, stand next to me. Bris somcheini. Somcheini means to authorize me. Because really, you should be doing the bris. I'm only your shliach. So amoid al yamini. Stand next to me, bris somcheini, and authorize me to do the bris. So the father comes over. The bris is about to happen. At this point, the father is shivering. So he says, "Hibarti l'shuoscha Hashem, Hashem help, it'll be okay." He doesn't say mitzvasecha asisi, because he's not doing anything. It's the boyel's going to do it. So he just says, "Hibarti l'shuoscha Hashem." At the same time, wow, it's a mitzvah. So then he picks himself up and he says, "Sosonichalim rosecha k'meisa shalarov." I'm rejoicing to do the mitzvah. The tzibur who are present, they respond to the two expressions of the father, the anxiety and the simcha, and they, to the anxiety, they say, "Shalom rov le'avesei asecha ve'in lo me'michshel." Zayruik is going to be okay. Ve'in lo me'michshel is going to work okay. That's in response to his sibat l'shuoscha Hashem. And in his having said, they say, yes, Ashe tivcha is korev, it's such a chus that you bring a child to become part of, you know, a bris of Roma, being part of Klal Yisrael. So in this way, it's the answer is that the Amoid al Yamin v'Simcheini is not asking Eliyahu to support me, and it's not Shaloch lefonecha is not an offering to Eliyahu. It's talking to Eliyahu and out of respect, etc. So he kind of rephrases and sets who's saying what, and in this way everything al mekayma yove v'shalom. The question is, then he goes into a whole discussion, how come all of this has been forgotten? So he theorizes that before the advent of printing, so you had this beautiful chair, which was, and then they would embroider on the chair itself, the ladies would embroider the various psukim. And at the time it was known already who says which pasuk. And then when it came printing, so they went to the printers, just, they put in the Seder HaBris, they put it into the Siddur, and they were not, you know, perceptive enough to put in who says what, and therefore it became the Siddur all in one flow, and everyone says everything. But the original format, that's his explanation.
The Mayo says it all. That's the Mayo says it.
Yes, and only the last bit is said. Right, so what this respondent is saying, that the original thing, it was actually said by different people, and it makes a lot of sense. Okay.
They had print, and handwriting and parchment. They could write things out.
All right, okay. I could say that. I'm just repeating what this fellow writes, and he says it.
There'd be worth the fortune today.
Yes. Okay. Fine. So that's one I found a remarkable vort. Now, then another remarkable vort. Very well known question comes Friday night. We come home and we say Shalom Aleichem Malachi Hashores, and then we say Shalom Aleichem Malachi Hashalom. No, sorry, Boyachem LeShalom Malachi Hashalom, Baruchuni LeShalom Malachi Hashalom, Seischem LeShalom Malachi Hashalom. So the first time they're called Malachi Hashores. And afterwards they switch to Malachi HaShalom. I know some, you know, this is an old problem, and some have got Gersoyes and they change it. But this is, I believe, the predominant Nusach. First time is Malachi HaShores, and the second time Malachi HaShalom. And the subsequent three times Malachi HaShalom. What's the pshat? What's happened over here? So actually this is last week's Haftorah. It's about Monoyach, am I right? No, is it 2 weeks ago? I was just in Eretz Yisrael, I'm confused. I was there, Parshas, for us, Parshas Nosia, but then with Parshas Baalosko. So we have, in a recent Haftarah, we'll play safe. So we have the story of Manoach, and the Malach appears to Manoach, and he said, and Noach says to the Malach, "Can you tell me your name? Ki yoved vocha v'chi bad nucha." Why are you asking for my name? Vuhu peli? What does peli mean?
It's beyond our saga.
Okay, it's classified. Okay, it's obscure, whatever the word, however you translate. So and then Rashi says, Malach had said, we don't have names. Lefi the Maasim, according to the job which I've been called for, that's the name which I'm called. Now the Malach had said, Lomozetish al-Lushmi, and then he says, you know what, my name is Peli. He did give his name. He says, my name is Pelly. Okay, no, it's upshot, yeah. So he says the following. He said, this is based upon, I think based upon the Al-Sheikh. I don't remember exactly. So he says the following. When a Malach is called for a mission, so according to the mission, he gets the name. What was the mission of the Malach coming to Monoyach? He was saying that you're going to have a child, a boy, and he's going to be a Nazir. In the context of Nazir, Ish ki yafli neder Nazir. Haflor, the union of haflor, expression, is crucial to the becoming a Nazir. It's in the union of mafli, to articulate perhaps. So because the shlichus was the union of Nazirus, therefore, v'hu Peli, my name is Peli. Because I'm coming for a shlichus for Nazirus, the Peli's got to do with this near Nazirus. Now let's come back. We all know the Gemara, that when a person comes home from shul on Friday night, he's accompanied by two malochim. One is a good one and one is a negative one. Let me just digress for a moment. Do you know there's a whole business about the planets, and the seven planets, and there's a thing of not making kiddush in the seventh hour because it's got to do with Mazal Madim. So you've got the two malochim. Madim is a not good malach. It's not good planet. So you have here the handover between the two malochim, the two stars. That is another meaning of the two malochim, the positive and the negative, coming at Friday night, the good one and the negative one. At any rate, so you've got the good malach and the negative malach. And the idea is that malach comes, and if he sees that the house is all nice and set, prepared for Shabbos, so he sees, it gives a brocha, and it should be and next week should be the same, and the no good malach has to say amen. Yeah? Well known. All right, so now what happens is the following. As the malachim are coming home, they are generic malachim. They don't know what their job is going to be. So they're malach ha'asharis. As the doors are opened, and they see that the house is all set nicely for Shabbos, so then their mission is to give a bracha of shalom. Therefore, before they are malach ha'asharis, but once they see that the house is all appropriate for Shabbos, their mission is to give a birchas shalom. Therefore, they become malachi hashalom. That's how he explains. Right, thank you. A very beautiful explanation. It's the name. This is named from someone from Premishlan. I know you've got some Polish background, so not Rav Meir Premishlan. It's a later writer, but he's from Premishlan. So all right. So that's a very beautiful explanation. Yes.
The same way with Yaakov, and it says Lomazet to Shalishmi, Lagorim to Zershon.
Right, but there doesn't say a name. Yes, he asks
Lomazet. Lagorim to Zershon is the name.
Okay, could be. Okay, another vort which I just saw this last couple of days. This is quoted, I think, from the Or Zeruah or Radvaz. It's quoted from the Rishonim, late Rishonim. By Zimun, we say, Nevorech she'ochalnu misheloi. When a person has Aliyah LaTorah, he says, Borchu es Hashem ha'mevoirach. So, several changes. Borchu, as a command, u'nevorech, let's together, galvanizing everyone. One change. Another change is, Hashem, with Hashem's name, without Hashem's name. Third change is the confirmation of Hamavoyroch, where by Zimun we don't say Nevorech Shachalnu Mishiloi, Nevorech Hamavoyroch Shachalnu Mishiloi. We don't have that confirmation. By Borchu we do have Borchu Hamavoyroch. So these are the three changes. So why he's asking, what's the explanation? Simple explanation is the following. When we are eating, first of all, there was a shame. If we have a minion, we say Hashem's name. If we don't have a minion, don't. So therefore, it's not a given to have Hashem's name in Zimun. But we've all eaten. We've all eaten, so we all have a duty to bench. Therefore, he can say, Nevorech. Let us all bench, because we have a duty to do this. At Kriyas HaTorah, etc., he's saying Baruch Hu, he's commanding them. It's not a given that they have to give a bracha at this moment. So he's commanding their baruch. Now, because he's commanding, therefore it could be armed, he's telling them what to do, and he himself is not necessarily part of it. Therefore he has to repeat, Ha mevoiroch, that I'm also part of what I'm asking you to do. Whereas by Zimun, since he said nevoreich, he's included himself. He doesn't have to say Ha mevoiroch, because he's already said that I'm part of this bracha. Very straightforward. Perhaps one more or two more things, that by at Kiddush Levona, Kshem she'ani roike kenegdech ve'eini yochelin goya boch. So there's lots of discussion about this. It's asking, and if it would be ten floors up, also you wouldn't be able to reach there, or whatever. He goes through a whole very interesting thing. There's a lashon of ach toiv v'chesed yirdefuni kol yemei chayai. Really, toiv v'chesed have to chase after you? Who runs away from toiv v'chesed? Why do you have to have toiv v'chesed yirdefuni? So he says like this. David HaMelech is part of his avodah. He kind of asks Hashem that he should have redifus and they should never catch up with him. In a sense to say that sometimes you see, he goes to the whole detail, sometimes you see people, let's say, David and Shaul. Shaul sees that David is matzliach, that Hashem is, why is he chasing him the whole time? So sometimes there's a gzar din hashamayim, this person should be a nirdof. His whole life is a nirdof, but the roid of him never catch up with him. So ach toiv v'chesed, yirdefuni kol yemei chayai, I should be chased my whole life, and they never catch up with me. And that's, he says, it's a similar idea of k'shem shanirev, eini yochelin g'abach, kind of an ongoing chasing, and they'll chase me, and they'll never catch up with me. I'll be key, something on those lines. Perhaps two more points. How are we doing for time? Okay. What is the translation of the word devir? We have it in davening. Where else do you have the word devir? In Moistur, devir kotche heviani, and several places the word devir comes up. What is the translation of the word devir? So, the devir is alluding to the Kodesh HaKadoshim Shemishom HaDibur Yoitse. So the word devir comes from the lashon of dibur, although sometimes it seems to be addressing Eretz Yisrael. Or it's not always does it mean mamish the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In Gemara Yuma, it talks about the Amot Raksin. And there, that's describing the passage between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that is, in Pi Halocha, in the Gemara, that is the Dvir, the passage between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Bayis Rishon, there was a doorway. In Bayis Sheni, the Gemara in Baba Basra talks about it was so tall, they could not build a wall so tall because there was no support, and therefore they had curtains. And there were two curtains, one in front of the other. There was an amo of a passage between, and it would go between the curtains, the Kohen Gadol would go between the curtains and do the Ketores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That area is called the Devir. So my question, this is not from that Sefer, my question is, when we say V'hoshevo avoido l'devir beisecho, which avoido is done in the Devir? If the Devir refers to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Ketores and Yom Kippur. But if the Devir is the passage, what is the avoida done in the Devir? So my suggestion is the following. Every time you engage in a very important meeting, you stand outside the meeting and you collect yourself. You kind of focus, where am I going into? What am I going to do? You kind of gear yourself up. And that is the avoida, hoshevo avoida l'devir beisecho. That before we daven, so just a moment of, just stop a moment, focus, where am I going into, where am I entering? And that is the Hoshev HaVoid L'Dvir B'Sechel. I want to finish off we have the four levels of creation. We have Doimim, Soimeach, Chai, Medaber. Doimim is the inanimate, stone, water. Then we've got Soimeach, we've got the vegetation, whether it's trees or grass. That's the vegetation. Then we have the next level is Chai, because vegetation grows whereas Doimim does not grow, but vegetation is rooted to one spot. Then we've got the Chai, who's mobile, an animal, is able to move from place to place. The fourth level, the highest of the four, is referred to as Medaber, the human. Why is the human in this language, why is he referred to as the Medaber? Why don't we say Hasichli? Is the advantage of the human over the animal, is it that the fact that he's speaking, or is it that he has intellect? Good question. So one of the explanations is that the word medaber is also meaning leadership, as we have Yad Beir Amim Tachteinu. The power of speech is a power of influence, is a power of leadership. And so the Odom is created not just to be an intellectual on his own, but he's there to have an influence. We are created to have influence. Our dibur, our koyach of speaking, is our primary vehicle of influence. And that's why it's very interesting. For a person to write a lie is much easier than to say a lie. Why is it so difficult? There are lie detector machines. Why is it so difficult for a person to lie? Because the person's a medaber, because that is really descriptive of who is he, what he is, therefore for the person to use his dibur in a corrupt way, there's a certain discomfort. So now in the positive sense, that we should use our dibur, whether it's dibur in tefillah, whether it's our dibur ben odom lachaveroi, to be there, and that awareness, that our dibur is our unique faculty to have an influence on the world, and we should use that in the best way.